In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. When the incarnate Son of God prayed, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. That's what we hear in the Gospel according to St. John. And sometimes we might think, because of the way we go about in the world, using our bodies and our mind and our consciousness as though we were aware of the whole of things, our experience is that we understand the world, we use all of our physical capacities, all of our senses, all of our emotional and intellectual capacities. We don't have to think about it. They all blend together. We have an experience of the world, and we believe we understand the world. Everyone has that experience. Even children have that experience. Even babies, even infants have that experience. Now, if we are an infant, our experience of the world is one of wonder. We don't realize that there is growth. We don't realize that in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, we will experience the world differently. Maybe that's part of our fascination with the beauty of young children and babies especially. They experience the world fully as a whole. They use all that they have to experience the world. It's that way for every single one of us. And when we are adults, we do the same thing. Unaware of the fact that we are only experiencing what is available to us physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. It is a whole experience for everyone. Every one of us assumes that we experience the world as it is. Or if we're sufficiently humble, we might say, well, this is the way the world is for me. But the fact of the matter is that the world is out there on its own, independent of our awareness, independent of the awareness of every particular and individual human being. God created the world, and it is as He created it to be, except as it has been distorted by the sin of the first parents, this relationship that God made part of creation between the creation that is not human and the human beings who live in creation. The world is not as God meant it to be unless His human beings are as they are meant to be. And we aren't. But we aren't aware of that in our experience of the world. Every one of us experiences the world as though we were the center. Emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, we have great difficulty in allowing to others the same importance that we have ourselves, because our firsthand experience is of our being the center. Because we are the center of our own experience. But oftentimes we forget how specific, particular, small, and particular to ourselves that experience is. One of the advantages that I have had in my life is the continued opportunity to teach young students in community college about things that they had never thought to even think of before. I teach them about world religions, including the Orthodox Christian faith, the fullness of the Christian faith, which they're not aware of because history has narrowed down our experience of the Christian faith in the West to what our ancestors inherited here in this country. And we don't realize that back in history, 1,500, 1800 years ago, 2 millennia ago, there was a greater fullness to the Christian faith and the experience of God through the fullness of the Christian faith than we may know about. I get to teach them about that. I get to teach them about things like the history of the way our society understands the world. I get to teach them about the history of science, which no one understands. It was a project, it had a history, it had a particular point of beginning in time when people decided that they needed to be very careful about trying to collect practical information about the world. And one of the things that they did as they were reflecting on what was necessary, the degree of humility that is necessary to be critical of what we say we know about the world, there were people who founded science who asked themselves, how do I experience the world beyond me? I have 5 senses. My 5 senses make my experience of the world specific and particular. What I see, what I hear, what I touch, all of the 5 senses, they are the ways that knowledge of the world, information about the world, comes into me. And they thought about what kind of thing does our mind do with this information that we get from the 5 senses. And at that point, they were coming close to something that the Christian fathers of the church of the East, the Orthodox churches, could have pointed out to them, that there are some difficulties about the way we function inside of ourselves. They knew, because they wanted to be empirical scientists gathering information that they could make as part of their project to measure the world and be able to make mathematical predictions about what might or might not happen, they knew that they had to be very rational, very logical. They knew that they had to guard against emotion. But they had no idea of the degree to which our human emotions, our human passions, are not as they are meant to be for a human being. Because of choices that were made in the beginning that all of us make again for ourselves. The choice to take our inspiration from the material and physical world around us. The choice to forget about the existence of God. The choice to go ahead and just naively look out through our own eyes, using our own mind, heart, soul, and 5 senses to experience in the world. Everyone has an experience of the world that is whole. No one is there to tell us this isn't how things are. Whether we're an infant, whether we're a child, just the specific and particular person that we are. We have no realization by experience as to how confused the spiritual and emotional inner condition of ourselves, each one of us as a human being, is because we are disoriented from God. And it's only when we are turned toward Him that we can see things as they really are. The passions can be calmed by long prayer, loving Him, returning to focus on Him in prayer on a daily basis, more than once each day. Because it's only through His eyes that we can see the world that He created and the people, the other human beings that He created, as they really are. It's only through His love, it's only through the teachings of Christ, that gradually the chaos of our inner lives, our soul, and our mind calm, and we are able to put ourselves in second place and see things at least to the degree that we, as particular individual limited persons, are able to see the world as it actually is. And always it will be only a small, small part, the part that we can see through our specific 5 senses, our specific psychological, emotional, and spiritual capacities, all of which are most of the time confused. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorose compares our internal, emotional, psychological, and spiritual condition to the sea. It is always changing, never stable, always moving, always affected by things that are going on. We experience this ourselves during the course of a day or a morning when we get up, and for some reason we are emotionally in a condition that is very uncomfortable and we don't know why. This is how we are inside, like the sea, ever changing, subject to the influence of things, sometimes stormy, sometimes calm. Can't explain the calmness and take credit for it any more than we should believe that the storms are more than simply temporary disturbances in our minds and our souls, and that if we wait them out and stay in our boat of calm consciousness, taking charge of what we do, how we orient and move the craft of our consciousness, the seas will calm. That's how we are. God created us out of the stuff of this world. There is weather inside of us, and we have to live through some of those storms and not identify with them, not be carried away, become confused, identify with the chaos, identify with the passions. Our consciousness is meant to be calm. Our consciousness is meant to be as aware as we can be. That can only happen by our focusing on God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God incarnate. And when he wants to pray, he uses his body and turns his eyes, his physical sight, toward the heavens. He turns his body, his mind, his soul toward the heavens, toward God. He does that because he is a human being. And a human being must use his body, his soul, his heart, his mind, and orient it toward God in order to be able to see the one that can fill him with the understanding that is meant to be had by every human being. But this human being is the incarnate Son of God. He communes with the Father, but he uses his body to do it. He doesn't do it in some kind of a disembodied, totally just spiritual way, discounting the physical body of his humanity. We have a tendency to do that ourselves. We look out toward the world unaware of whatever might be going on with our body, not taking into account difficulties and shortcomings of our five senses, difficulties and shortcomings in our spiritual ability to have compassion and love for others. We simply look out into the world as though we were able to assume that our understanding is full, complete, and absolute, as though we were disembodied beings. Jesus Christ does not do that. He regularly orients himself toward God the Father, and he prays. We are not disembodied beings. Each one of us is a specific and a particular person who is body and soul and meant to be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Metropolitan Anthony says that our consciousness of the world is like what we see when we look on the surface of a lake. What we see is a reflection. Now, the reflection that we see is as it is because of our particular physical selves, our particular five senses, our particular mind, our particular psychological and spiritual makeup, the way God has created us as a particular person. Our understanding of the world is not absolute as a baby and a child and a person who is not being aware of the fact that we are limited, specific, particular beings, is able to be. So as we consider this fact, and this is true of everyone, We have to admit that Metropolitan Anthony's comparison is an accurate one. The way I see and understand and experience the world is not absolutely as that world is. I am not God. I cannot encompass the whole of God's creation in my mind, in my understanding, as I feel like I do. I cannot encompass in my mind and my heart and my soul the lives of all of the others that I interact with. None of them can either. Each of us knows a reflection and image of the world as it ultimately is, like looking out across the lake and seeing all that is reflected in the lake of the sky that is truly there and the clouds that are actually there. We see their reflection, all of the things around the lake, whether they're trees or buildings or houses or people walking along a path along the side of the lake. We see their reflection. We don't see them. Our ability to see and understand the world is limited to what goes on inside of ourselves, limited by our physical bodies, limited by our emotional, psychological, and spiritual specific person that we are. If we want to see the real thing, we have to look toward God. We have to, in order to be able to see others as they are, we have to see them and experience them through His eyes. We have to experience them through the life and the mind of Christ so that our heart can be cleansed of all of its distortions. Everything we see reflected, there's always distortion. There's always a partial image that we don't even realize is a partial image. This way of experiencing the world as though we did not have to account for the specific limitations of our own spiritual life and our own ability to understand and see others and the world that we live in can only be corrected by prayer. Prayer is essential. Gradually, we learn enough humility to recognize the reality of our situation and how very partial our own experience of the world and others as they actually are really, as a matter of fact, is. The more we are dominated by our vices, the more distorted our understanding of the world outside of ourselves and especially other people is going to be. Every single one of our vices is the means of distorting our understanding of the world and others. As we look toward God and we try to trample down our vices and gain the virtues of Christ, there comes a little more clarity. And with just a little more clarity, finally comes humility. The humility to recognize how very partial our experience and understanding of the world is. An infant can't do this. A child can't do this. A human being can only do it by prayer, can only do it by learning the humility that comes of standing in the presence of God and realizing that it is only He who sees the world as it actually is. And even though He sees the world that He has created and all of us as we actually are, He loves us and He does all that is necessary for us to abandon our partial experience of the world and in humility know the truth of the world as God created it and sometimes even have compassionate insight into the hearts and minds of others. And we experience the wonder of other human beings. We see that God has created them as the incredible individual beings that we are, and we love them with God's own love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.